Everyone enjoying autumn so far? Well, I actually, it's getting a little bit cold. You're putting on more layers, and I'm actually already missing summer. This is just like a couple of weeks back, right? But I'm already missing summer because every summer, our family will try to go camping with a few more other families, and we have fun. We take a time out, enjoying the beach and enjoying some lakes. So I'm actually already missing summer. But for those of you who are new in New Zealand, or you know, don't you think that New Zealand is a beautiful place all around? Holiday high. I was talking to David the other day. When you come to New Zealand, you have a holiday high. In fact, even before our family, by the way, I'm not Kiwi, if you can't tell, right? Normally Kiwis don't look like this, or they don't sound like this, okay? So I'm not Kiwi. Before we moved to New Zealand about 14 years ago, when we first got married, my wife and I, when we got married, we decided to go for honeymoon, right? And she's saying, let's find a place that both of us have not been before, and more than likely we will not go back to that place. So we both talked about it and said, okay, let's go New Zealand. So we said, all right, let's go New Zealand. So we, after our wedding, we took 4 weeks off and we flew to New Zealand, landed in Auckland, stayed with a friend for a couple of days, and then we rented a camper van. We drove all the way from North Island to the South Island. So spent 4 weeks, you know, driving around New Zealand. We had a lot of good memories, all right? Like, we had great time in the Rotorua Polynesian Spa. Losing my wedding ring on a dolphin watching cruise. Not a good thing to do when you just got married. And then enjoying our instant noodle in front of a pristine lake, beautiful lake, watching the sunshine while eating instant noodles because we're on a budget. And also, having our first big fight over some trivial matters as husband and wife. That's memorable for me. But one of the most memorable events was when we were after visiting Moraki Borders. If those of you who are not familiar, it's some big round rocks along a beach. Don't know how it happens. I've never actually researched about it. But we visited Moraki Borders near Dunedin. Okay. And it was because we catched the low tides. And after we visited that, we went back to our camper van and we drove. We wanted to drive away to where we were staying. So I drove, came out from the car park, and I make a U-turn over a patch of grass. And it was muddy. So what happens? It got stuck. The wheel kept spinning, and then I like, okay, we're stuck. And then I said, don't worry, honey. Let me go rescue the situation. I said, you take the wheel, and I'll push us out of it. Camper van, yeah? So I went down, I rolled up my sleeve, I said, honey, you drive now. Shh. All right, not working. Maybe I need some spinach. Some of you are wondering, why spinach? Sorry, different generations, but I kept pushing, not working. That's all right. Went back to the van. Let's figure something out. Took out a plank of wood. Tried to stuck it under the wheels. MacGyver here, trying to do something to make it work. Trying to be the hero for my new bride. It didn't work. So what did I do? It was getting dark. I just look at my wife's face. She's like starting to like, okay, what's gonna happen? I look at the sky, it was getting dark. New country, new environment, obviously not strong enough, and no mobile phones. All right, if I would have a mobile phone, guess what would I have done? Obviously take a selfie. Right, just like everyone else right now. Okay, honey, I'm pushing. Right, But no mobile phone. So I said, like, God, please help us. It's not even like, honey, let's get together and pray. No. I just like in the state of panicking, God, please help us. God, please help us. As soon as I said that, a truck came from the main road, drove into the parking lot, and rescued us. Not just any ordinary truck, all right? It's a truck with a winch in front of it. If you're wondering what's a winch, like I actually have to ask Pastor Richard, what do you call that thing? Okay, so a winch. Hang on. This is not the truck, but an illustration, right? It's those metal cable that's right in front with a roller. All right. So the truck came in, saw us, jumped off the car. This man pulled out the hook, hooked my camper van, pressed a button, and then got us out of trouble. Removed the winch, went back to his car, and drove back into the main road and gone. So I was like, all right. What's the chances? All right, what's the chance that as soon as I finish that prayer, a truck came in? All right. Not just any other truck, but a truck with a winch right in front. I've seen those on TV, but I've never seen it before, and I've never ever seen it again in my life. That was the only time I saw a truck with a winch. Okay. What's the chances that that guy saw us from the main road, needed help, came into the parking lot, hooked us out, went back, and gone? We were convinced we saw an angel. Okay. And angel that doesn't look like those babies that we see, a Kiwi bloke with mustache, you know. Like, oh, maybe that's how an angel looks like. But sometimes that's how life is, right? We got stuck in the mud, and God comes through. But today, the key scripture tells us that sometimes we get, not only that we get stuck in the mud at times, in fact, by our very own nature, our very own core, our own tendency, we tend to lean towards being in the mud. Right, so let's look at today's scripture. All right, we're taking it from the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. All right, it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desire of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, but we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him." But this is written by Paul in the book of Ephesians. This is chapter 2. In chapter 1, when Paul was writing the book of Ephesians, in chapter 1, there are 5 times, if you read chapter 1, it says, "In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ." Not only that, another 5 times it said, "In Him, in Him, in Him, in Him, in Him." So 10 times, Paul was saying, "In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Him, in Him, in Him, in Him." Obviously, Paul is so overwhelmed by the fact that he is in Christ. What's really interesting, by the time we get to chapter 3, we realize where Paul was writing it from. Do you know where was Paul when he was writing the book of Ephesians? He was actually in prison. So when we get to chapter 3, he didn't even say, I am in prison. He said, I am a prisoner of Christ Jesus. If I was writing the book of Ephesians, I would have started, I'm in prison, prison, and I'm in prison, I'm in prison. I will try to milk as much pity as I can so that you will listen to me, all right? But not Paul. Paul is so engulfed, he is so overwhelmed with what Christ has done for him that he just kept saying, in Christ, even though he was in the prison, he's just saying, in Christ, in him, all right? There are a lot of people who seems to be perfect, right? They're financially free. If you look at their social media, right, they have all the beautiful family pictures, husband and wife always smiling together, all right? All the nice traveling pictures, and one of Pastor Rich's favorite, all the beautiful food that they're eating, taking all those pictures, right? So they seems to be happy in freedom, but are they really? They may seem happy and have it all, but in reality, emotionally, spiritually, morally, mentally, and ethically, they could be in chains. A lot of us seems to be free, but in reality, we are in prison. But some of us are like Paul, which seems to go through financial challenges. Our work or study can be too stressful. We don't have a lot of things that what the world tells us we need to be successful. But we are emotionally, spiritually, morally, ethically free. Even when life gets tough, we are living in such joy and freedom because we know we are in Christ. In today's text, if we look at it, we can see that there are two contrasts. The first tells us the bad news. The first paragraph of it, it tells us the bad news. The bondage or prison that we are in without Christ. And the second part is the freedom that we have in Christ. That's the good news. Right? But good news can only be good news if you know of the bad news. Else it's just another news, right? So Paul set it up perfectly in this chapter with these two words. And you. It started off with the scriptures. It says, and you. When some of us are thinking, oh, and you is just talking about to one person. But in this context, you is a plural. It says, and you. It's talking to all of us. He's addressing to all mankind. Not just to one person, not just to one group of people, right? He's addressing to the Jews, to the Gentiles, to the Filipinos, to the Kiwis, to the Australians, to the Malaysians, to the Indians, to all of us. Paul is describing the universal human condition. None are exempted. Okay? What it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins. Next slide, please. It says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Trespasses, sins, they're kind of the same thing, but not really, okay? Trespasses is when we know something is wrong and we still do it. I remember when I first learn to ride a bicycle, and I have a little bit more freedom in the neighborhood. But because I was fairly new in learning bicycles, and I was going around with my friends, my mom said, this is the only road that you can go to, okay? You can't go across because you're not experienced enough. So after a few days going back and forth, you know, boys, we got bored. And then my friend said, let's go there. And then I was telling my friend, no, my mom said we can't do it. And it's like, oh, come on, she won't know. if we come back safely and quickly, she won't know. I was like, okay, let's do it. And I went. Like, trespasses is knowing what you should not be doing, and you still do it. Okay? Or, you know God wants you to do, and you do not want to do it. Okay? So that's trespasses. It's not because we are a victim. It's not because we're ignorant, or the culture tells us that, you know, the culture oppresses us to do certain things. No, we know that we shouldn't be doing it, or we know that God wants us to do it, and we chose the other way. We still choose to do the other way. That's trespasses. All right. How many of you are trespassers? How many of you have done that? This morning? This morning already? The red light says 80, maybe 85 when I'm driving. Okay? All of us are trespassers. None are exempted. Sin is a little bit different. Sin is, it's we know God's standards and we try to reach it, but we still fail. Right? So that's sin. Okay? I know I should be loving my wife in a certain way, but many times I'm still rude to her. I'm still grumpy. Okay. Or I know how I should be disciplining my children. You know, I should talk to them, like, but sometimes I still yell at them. Right? Because I have a sinful nature. It still comes up in me. All right, so we know the target that we should be achieving, but we still miss the mark. All right, that's God's standard, we know, but we still miss the mark. All right. Trespasses is when we intentionally do the opposite of what God wants us to do, but sin is we try to achieve God's standard, but we still miss the mark. Here's what Paul said. We are all spiritually dead because of our trespasses and our sin. Spiritually dead. Okay? Not only did he say that, he says we are following the prince of the power of the air. Like, oh, what's that? What's prince of the power of the air? It sounds like a big phrase to us, but if you live in the time of the Ephesians, everyone during that time knows that that phrase means Satan, the devil. Okay, so Paul is getting really strong in his language. He says, you are all followers Satan. Yeah, like some of you are like, oh, I'm already offended. Should I sit here? Yes, please sit. Because that's the good news. The good news is coming. All right? It says, sons of disobedience, children of wrath, the nature of children of wrath. Sons of disobedience, sons, children. Basically, it means we have the spiritual gene in us to be disobedient. Yes. That's in all of us. Yes. I didn't have to teach my, I have to be careful, my son is sitting in here. I didn't have to teach him to be disobedient. He naturally does it. I naturally do it. Now, he's a good boy. He's a good man now, man. Man boy. But, right? Children, sons, the Bible basically tells us it's all in us. We inherited it. It's all in us. We are naturally disobedient to what God has said. And we even have a great anger in us to destroy what is good by God. Not only that, it says that like the rest of mankind. Paul is reminding us that all of us are broken. Not one of us are exempted. You may say, I'm not a devil worshiper. That's not me. You know. No, I've only done certain things. That's not me. You know. But just imagine yourself, right? Just imagine we have a shelf full of wine glasses, you know, glass, and a child run into it, bashed into that shelf, and all the wine glass tumbled on the floor. And all the wine glass, if you look at it, everything is broken. That's us. We are all broken. What's really interesting is, if you look closely, some wine glasses are broken differently. Right? Some are broken on the neck, some are shattered terribly, some may just have a crack. Okay, and that's us. We are all broken, but we may be broken differently. That's what sin does to us. Not everyone is broken the same way, but we are all broken. Some of us are broken emotionally. Some continue to struggle with addiction. Some of us turn into incredible Hulk way too often. Yeah. Some have a tendency to lie. Some of us have all kinds of sexual attraction, which is outside of God's best. That's the bad news. We are all stuck in the mud because everyone is broken. But there's a good news. For every brokenness, there is a but God. Wow. Every brokenness, there is a but God. A broken relationship, but God can restore it. You're struggling with an addiction? Sign up for Freedom Weekend because God will set you free. Sexual perversion, uncontrollable act, anger, but God will restore you, will set you free. That's the good news. For every brokenness, there is a but God. I just want to take a moment and give God a praise offering right now. Come on. Well, there are some things that are broken so badly that we just can't repair them. Okay? That's my tendency, you know, when we have things that are at home that we have broken, my first reaction is, throw it away, we'll get a new one. My wife will say, no, let's try to fix it. But I tell my, I said, dear, this is beyond repair. We need to replace it. Sometimes I just come up with stupid excuses just to get new toys. Like, my phone, it's not working anymore. It needs to be replaced, not repaired. The TV, it's so small, it's so broken. It needs to be replaced. Right. Paul said we are all dead. How bad is that? When it's dead, right? It's not like it's going to come back alive. All right. Paul said we are all spiritually dead because of our trespasses and our sins. So it must be pretty bad. Right, it's not even like I've done something wrong. I'll just go and say I'm sorry, and then God will forgive me. Okay, so what does God do to us? It says, but God, being rich in mercy, He made us alive, and He created in us in Christ Jesus. Okay, so God didn't just repair us. He made us new. Okay, He made us new. Not like, you know, I'm just going to forgive him and then just let him continue his life. God puts His Spirit in us and made us a new creation. Okay. Said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Wow. We are spiritually dead because of our trespasses and sins, and we're stuck in the mud. But God, in His mercy, by His grace, right, He made us new so that we do not need to be the sons of disobedience. so that we can break away that nature in us when we are children of wrath. Okay, so how does God do that? There's four components to this solution. Okay, and we see it in verse 9 and 10. Okay, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in him." Okay? The four components that God can make us new: grace, faith, works, salvation, save. All right? The problem is, no, this is not the problem. This is the good news. Okay? This is the good news that we can find. We've known about the bad news, and the good news is we are saved by grace through faith. And as a result of that, good works come out of it. Okay? But many times we misunderstand, misunderstood? Still trying to get my... If we misunderstand what this scripture says, or we misapply what this scripture says, or we mispreach what God has offered us, the good news can quickly become fake news. So, okay, I've got good news, I've got bad news, I've got bad news, I've got good news, and now Pastor Alfred, you're telling me I've got fake news. Well, fake news has some element of truth, but it's not the entire truth. Bad news is we are all spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. The good news is we are made alive in Christ. It's easy for us to tell the difference between good news and bad news, but fake news sometimes is hard to distinguish. And the problem is fake news always messes us up. When we begin to add to the Word of God, or when we begin to misapply it or mispreach it, we begin to distort the gospel as how it intended it to be, right? So let me quickly share with you the three fake news that has become common nowadays. Okay, so what was the first fake news? It's grace plus faith plus works equals salvation. Did the Bible say that? Well, kind of. All the four components are there: grace, faith, works, and salvation. But this is what we call legalism or religiosity. All right? We saved by grace, and you have to do this much more in order to be saved. You have to further follow certain style of worship. All right? Cannot be too loud. Some churches say you cannot be too soft. Some churches say you have to dance. Some churches said you have to be solemn. Some of us said we have to be vegetarian every Friday. Some says that you can't eat pork. I wonder why. Some, you have certain things that you need to follow on top of the grace of God and the faith that you put in Christ, then you can be saved. That's fake news. That's not true. We're doing all this stuff as if Christ has not done enough for us. Okay? That's fake news. The second fake news that we have is grace plus faith minus works equals salvation. That's lawlessness. We call that lawlessness. Right, it means we don't have to change. Okay, we just have to repent, but we don't need to reconcile with God. Okay, we simply accept Jesus. We place our faith in His grace, and we are saved. Okay, but when you talk about lordship, no. I do not want the works to reflect in my life, because it's not needed. The works is not needed. Okay? the church is preaching about lordship. I'm not coming to church for the next 5 weeks because that's lordship series. You want me to sign up Freedom Weekend? I'm sure they're going to talk about lordship. I'm sure they're going to ask me to do certain things. I'm not going to sign up for Freedom Weekend. No, that's not what the Bible says. Grace plus faith minus work is salvation. That's lawlessness. That's fake news. And the last fake news that I want to introduce to you is grace minus faith minus works, that's salvation. We call that the universalism or hypergrace. This is a form of belief that everyone will be saved by Jesus. You don't even have to place your faith in Christ. All right? Don't even talk about works. I can continue to live in sin. I can continue to be rude to my wife, smash my children, cheat on my exams, take a bribe. It's okay, because God is love, right? God loves everyone. And He will save all of us. It almost sounds like the gospel of Oprah Winfrey. But that's not what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says grace plus faith equals salvation and works. All right? We are saved by grace through faith. The faith that we put on what Christ has done on the cross for all of us. Our sins are forgiven because of the power of the cross, not what we can do. We can be reconciled back to God because of His love for all of us. Not because of some program that I follow in the church. And because of that, when I understood how much God has loved us, is loving us, how much God has sacrificed for us, good works will begin to manifest in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control will begin to develop in our lives. It is because of God's grace. It is because of the faith that we put in God that has resulted in our salvation. That when we place our trust in Christ Jesus, we are reconciled back to God. Through that, good works will begin to manifest in our life. Some of you are wondering, when is my good works going to be complete? No. As long as we are in this earth, God will continue His good works in our life. And as the fruit of the Spirit begin to grow in our lives, then we begin to see why we are serving God, why we are volunteering in a church to be a blessing to others. Not because we have to get some merit points, no, because we have tasted the goodness of God and we want that to be on others. It is because we understand when we are in discipleship, we have overcome our struggles, our addictions, our challenges, and we want the other person to feel the same. Does that make us perfect? Not even close. But good works will result from that. Okay. Well, church, you have heard the bad news. And I hope that we as a church, through discipleship, would do all we can to navigate through all the fake news. Because really, there's only one news that God wants to tell us. That is by grace, through faith, that we can be saved. And out of that, good works will come. I'm asking the worship team to bring us back into a time of worship so that we can respond. And during this time, it'll be good for some of us to begin to reflect. If you feel that there's condemnation in your life because of your challenges, if you feel that God is such a struggle for me, I want you to remember of the good news. Why don't we all stand and we worship as we begin to reflect of what God has done and can do in our life. In John chapter 5, verse 24 to 25, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Well, church, if you find that you have been stuck in a mud, if you're stuck in a pit, I want to let you know that God is calling you right now to put your faith in Him. If you have not known Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you're saying, "Alfred, can I have that freedom that you talk about? Can I know this Christ that I could be in Him so that I can have salvation?" Christ is saying, "Yes, you can." And I'm going to allow a moment for us to respond. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to count to a count of three. And if you say, "That's you, that's me, I want to have that freedom. I want to be broken away from the chain that I'm in." Everyone close your eyes. No one is looking around. And you said, "Jesus, please bring me back from death to life." On the count of three, I want you to raise your hand and allow God to begin to minister to you. For those of you who have raised your hand, and even if you have not raised your hand, why don't we just pray together? Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the good news that we can find in you. Father, today I acknowledge of my brokenness. I ask for your forgiveness for all my trespasses. I repent of my sins. Father, please forgive me. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart, to be my Lord and Savior. Lord, let this day be the beginning of my journey. To allow you to continue your good works in my life. Surrender my life to you right now, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name.